This is the Thorn Podcast, the show that navigates the complex world of wellness and explores the latest science behind diet, supplements, and lifestyle approaches to good health. I'm Dr. Robert Roundtree, Chief Medical Advisor at Thorn and Functional Medicine Doctor. As a reminder, the recommendations made in this podcast are the recommendations of the individuals who express them and not the recommendations of Thorn. Statements in this podcast have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Any products mentioned are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Thorn Podcast. This is something of a special episode for us. Thorn is celebrating 40 years in operation this month. That's 40 years of putting science over sales to bring its customers the most trusted nutritional supplements in the world. And to celebrate this milestone, this week, instead of talking about a specific health concern, we're going to pull back the curtain to talk a bit about Thorn's history and give you the inside scoop of how it evolved over the years. Joining me this week to help with this discussion is Dr. Kathy Head, a naturopathic doctor and the executive director of medical media at Thorn. And I should also add, a longtime friend. Kathy has worn many different hats at Thorn over the years, and I can't think of anyone better to help us explore this topic. How are you doing today, Kathy?
Well, hi, Bob. Good to talk to you again. Haven't talked to you in a while, and glad to be here. I first became aware of Thorn, I guess you'd have to travel back in time to the late 80s, early 90s. When I was in naturopathic school, Thorn wasn't really a thing yet, but I started hearing about it, and I was attracted to it because Thorn had interesting ingredients in products, like some unusual flavonoids and things like that, that I couldn't get anywhere else for my patients. At that time, I was practicing naturopathic medicine in San Diego. I was a teacher at the acupuncture school down there, and I used to use the literature that they put out because it was all really science-based and the handouts looked official and that sort of thing. At the time, I was on the board of the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians, and so was the original editor-in-chief of Alternative Medicine Review, which was the journal that Thorn published starting in 1996. It was a peer-reviewed Medline Index journal. He walked in one day to a board meeting we were having in Seattle and plopped some of those journals down on the table, and I was just like in love immediately. Eventually, in 1997, I moved from San Diego to Sandpoint, Idaho to work at Thorn. And a couple years after that, I became the editor-in-chief of that journal. So,
and I would say some of your articles, they're still in my library and I still reference them today. And then that's 25 years later.
I know. Sometimes I wish we could go back and update a lot of that stuff or, you know, start doing something similar to that again. It was a lot of work. So I'm not saying we should do exactly that again, but.
But it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. And, it, you know, we had the printout version. So it was like these really pretty covers that kind of matched the Thorn labels. And
again, you know, other supplement companies weren't doing that.
Right. And we gave it away free to all of our customers. You know, at that time, all of our customers were practitioners because that was our niche. We hadn't branched out into selling to consumers yet.
Now, can you say a few things about the founder of Thorn? Like, what was his intention in starting the company?
So Alan Kelly Zapp started the company in 1984. They had been working for another supplement company. I believe Al had anyway. Kelly's father was a naturopath and MD and I think chiropractor too in Canada. So she had been working with him a lot. I don't know if she was also working with the supplement company or not, but Al, his background was in biochemistry, and he saw things being done in the supplement industry that he didn't particularly care for, things that he thought were potentially interfering with absorption, things that were potentially allergenic, and he thought he could do a better job. So he started the company He called it thorn research. Thorn was intended to be a thorn in the side of the industry. So that's how it got its name, although they added the E on the end of thorn. So that was it. And their first product was vitamin C, I believe. Yeah, it was just the pure ascorbic acid, which was they launched in 1984. They originally were in Seattle. They launched the product in June, and they broke even in November of that year. So.
And the reason it was the thorn in the side of the industry is because there were a lot of things going on behind the scenes that people didn't know about that Al felt like he should actually make public.
Right. Like one of the biggest thorns, I guess, in his side was the use of magnesium stearate or other fatty acids, long-chain fatty acids similar to that. They're used to make the product run better. You can run product through the machines like about 3 times faster than without it. So it's a flowing agent. You can tell oftentimes if a product doesn't have it in, it's hard to pull the capsules apart. It's much easier to pull capsules apart if it's got something like that in it. So those fatty acids can delay the absorption. So you could use something like that if you were trying to delay the absorption.
The magnesium stearate soap, isn't it? An ingredient in soap? It's not so much that it's toxic as that it might interfere with absorption.
Right. There isn't anything toxic about it specifically.
And what I remember from those days, because I was a fairly early user of Thorn products.
I remember you came to visit.
Yeah, I actually came to Sandpoint to look around the factory.
Yep. I got introduced to you as Al was showing you around, I think.
Those were the days. So I got interested in it because I had not realized until Al Zapp pointed this out, but that companies could use fillers in their products without putting it on the label, like lactose.
Right. If you don't put the material in yourself, it doesn't have to be on the label.
Wow.
If, for instance, if you get vitamin D from a raw material provider and it has lactose in it, which a lot of vitamin D, at least at that time, did, you don't have to put lactose on the label, which is unfortunate because there are people who have problems with lactose.
Yeah. And Al's whole intent was to point out that people were taking supplements that they shouldn't react to and saying, I have a problem with this. I took vitamin D from what seemed to be a reputable company and it ripped my gut. And Al said, oh, there's a reason for that.
Another thing that is often diluted with lactose are digestive enzymes like pancreatin. So people are taking that because they're having digestive issues. So you sure don't want a hidden allergen that can cause digestive issues like lactose to be in the product.
And this still goes on today, right? I mean, there's still...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So again, as you said, if the company puts it in, they have to put it on the label, but they can get around that by just buying from somebody else. And so would you say, if you look at all the vitamin D products on the market, would you say there's a significant percentage that don't declare these kind of things on the label, whether it's lactose or something else?
It's hard to tell because they don't put it on the label. I mean, what I do notice a lot is companies are still using stearates, magnesium stearate and that sort of thing a lot, or tablets. When Thorne started, most of the dietary supplements were tablets. Their whole tagline was Thorne Research, specialists in pure encapsulation.
And what's the advantage of using capsules over tablets?
Well, tablets require a lot of other ingredients to compress them, and typically they do anyway, and they often have like a lacquer finish on the outside. They just don't dissolve as well in the stomach. You'd be more likely to wind up with a tablet as the end result of your daily digestive efforts than you would a capsule. The capsules start basically you've noticed maybe if you accidentally got a capsule wet when you were starting to take it, it's already starting to like get gooey and fall apart in your hand. So the capsules are better absorbed.
So sometimes you might see a capsule that basically passes through the GI tract unchanged.
You would probably see it, more likely to see a tablet.
Oh, did I say capsule?
Than a capsule.
Oh my gosh.
Way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that was a total slip on my part, but I meant, yeah. I've never had anybody complain that they saw a capsule in the toilet, but I have definitely heard people say that they saw tablets in the toilet. But it's true. I mean, that these things can pass through completely unchanged because if somebody has poor digestion, then they're just not breaking apart, which brings me to the point of, are Thorne supplements only for sensitive people, or have we found out anything over the years that maybe there are more canaries out there, more sensitive people than we realize? Can you speak to that? Because initially Al was saying, hey, these are products for people that just can't tolerate, you know, not just lactose, but other things. So these are super pure.
The most sensitive people, yes. That was sort of Thorne's niche initially. No, I mean, anybody's going to benefit from getting the most out of their supplement. If more of it's absorbed, it's obviously going to be helpful for anybody, whether they have allergies or, you know. I think that's the most sensitive part had to do with the fact that there weren't hidden allergens in the products. But as far as the absorption factor, anybody can benefit from that. And, you know, Thorne has continued to look for ways to improve absorption over the years. They've partnered with a company called Indina in Italy that has worked on helping to improve absorption of particularly botanical extracts and flavonoids, some of these things like curcumin and quercetin are very poorly absorbed. And this company has developed the phytosome technology, which is binding the botanical with a phospholipid like phosphatidylcholine. And these are important ingredients in cell membranes. So by having it attached to a friend of the cell membrane, basically, it helps to usher the material across the cell membrane for absorption. So that's been one of the highlights of Thorne's continued effort to improve bioavailability of supplements.
So that kind of represented a big change in Thorne's evolution, which is, again, going from having relatively straightforward supplements for highly sensitive individuals to getting into that bigger issue of, well, how do we enhance availability? And the partnership with this Italian company, Indina was a big part of that.
Right. And continues to be. I mean, we have now, gosh, I don't remember how many different phytosome.
Maybe a dozen. I don't know. Like curcumin, quercetin, berberine, milk thistle, green tea, grape seed.
And now we have CoQ10.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And in some products, we don't have it as a standalone at the moment, but our CoQ10 that we have is a specialized crystal-free form. It's just not a phytosome.
One thing I really appreciate about Indina is that it's research-based, is that they don't just say, hey, we think this will work. They actually go out and study it in humans, not just in animals. They study it in humans, and then they publish it in a reputable medical journal.
Yeah, I love that about Indina, because there's nothing worse than having to try to justify an ingredient that you don't really have good research for. And we typically will reject that if we're looking at an ingredient, but there's no good research, we try not to go there. So yeah, Indina has been a lifesaver for me, because I spend a lot of time writing up the research, either for practitioners with, you know, summaries of the research that supports ingredients in different products, or more friendly, bite-sized way for the consumer. But it's so nice to have studies you can hang your hat on.
So that maybe brings me to an important question. The company used to be called Thorne Research. why drop the name research from the name? What was the significance of that?
You know, I don't know.
I suspect it just was a way to kind of reach out to the public and go, hey, this isn't an esoteric company, you know, that's only doing like esoteric research.
Yeah, no, I think I was going to say that I would guess that was why, because it doesn't sound as consumer friendly, I guess, to have the word research on there.
It not so techie.
And maybe it doesn't even sound like we're a supplement company. Maybe it sounds like we're a research organization or something, which I think it does to some people, because I get emails now and then from people in different parts of the world wanting to send me their resume and saying that they want to come and do research in the lab. Obviously, some people, and I just got one yesterday like that.
But Thorne does sponsor research. I think that's an important thing to point out.
Oh, yeah. And we partner with Mayo Clinic on some research, and we've partnered with all different universities and so forth. So that's one thing that Thorne holds as an important aspect of the company.
So again, Thorne's gone from being this research-oriented line of products for highly sensitive individuals to looking at the bigger issue of, well, how do we make these supplements more available to everyone, and how do we make supplements that are more bioavailable? So again, it's kind of a bigger picture. So Thorne became a big picture company.
Yeah, and they've branched into some interesting home testing measures. There's an interesting gut health test that has a lot of interesting research behind it that we offer, as well as some other home tests.
And when did Thorne start focusing on sports? Because that's become a huge part of the business, I've noticed, just kind of watching it evolve. I remember whenever this started a few years back, there was a little discussion about some sports team sponsors, and then all of a sudden, it seems like Thorne is everywhere in the sports world.
Right. It was around, I think, 2015. 2016 was when we started seeking NSF Certified for Sport status.
And what is that?
That's an organization that certifies products as not having any kind of ingredient that might show up on a drug test for an athlete, that kind of thing. They actually test for close to 300 different ingredients now, from contaminants that could be health threatening to things that could, like steroids and things that could interfere with a drug test.
You know, it's interesting because that whole notion of no hidden ingredients, that really is a natural extension or progression of what Thorne's always been about. So this was kind of a natural progression for the company, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's right in line with, one thing we haven't talked, we've talked about it sort of tangentially, but is the whole focus on quality. And, you know, I didn't really understand that before I came to work at Thorne. That wasn't really, like, when you're practicing, you're just looking for the ingredients you want for your patient, and you don't really understand that much about the industry or what goes on. So, you know, it was pretty eye-opening when I first started working at Thorne and realized that there's a lot more that goes on behind the scenes than you know about.
I was able to go down and meet with the International Olympic Committee a number of years ago, I think when Thorne was first kind of being vetted by the Olympic teams. This lawyer that I talked to with WADA said, I can walk you into a health food store and point my finger at some of the most well-known brands in the store, and I can guarantee you there's going to be hidden contaminants in there. And the last thing that an athlete who is going to be in the Olympics, the last thing they ever want to have happen is for them to go take something off the shelf and, you know, say, well, I'm going to take a little vitamin C, and have it contain an undisclosed ingredient that shows up in their urine, and their career is ruined.
Yeah, it's sad, but true. And in fact, they're so strict, the NS certification program, that like we used to sell DHEA, which converts to testosterone. And not only would they not be, were we not able to have a DHEA product certified, but we can't even make it in the building. We can't even have it in the building. We can't even bring it into the building if somebody else made it for us to be tested, because we'd have to, at some point, we'd have to bring it into the building. So we had to stop selling that product.
Because it's basically a hormone.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's considered, you know, it converts to testosterone, which, of course, you're not able to supplement with extra testosterone if you're a pro athlete.
Again, I think the Olympic committees, they really vetted Thorne for years before they became convinced that these were safe products to recommend to athletes. And so there's a number of non-governing bodies that have thrown in their lot with Thorne because they trust Thorne's product so much. That's a big deal.
Yeah. And there are a lot of just individual pro athletes that have partnered with Thorne as well.
Terrific. So we'll be right back to answer some questions from our listeners. But first, we're going to take a short break. At Thorne, innovation never stops. That's why we created our line of eco-friendly supplement discs. From gut-healthy prebiotics and soothing sleep support to sugar-free, fuss-free nutrients for kids, Thorne supplement discs deliver comprehensive nutritional support plus so much more. Ultra-slim, portable, and quick-dissolving, each Thorne supplement disc is packaged using 100% plastic-free materials and uses less energy to produce and ship to your door than traditional bottle supplement beverages. Just drop one disc into a reusable bottle or glass of water for easy, on-the-go nutritional support wherever life might take you. It's all part of Thorne's mission to create a healthier world. Discover Thorne's complete line of supplement discs today at thorne.com. That's thorne.com. And we're back. So now it's time to answer some questions from the community. Our first question this week comes from a listener who asks, 40 years is older than I am. I think he or she is talking about our 40-year anniversary. How am I just now hearing about you? And I think you is Thorne. So why, if this company's been around for 40 years, why is the word just now getting out? So Kathy, do you have a comment on that?
Sure. Well, at first, for one thing, the company focused just on selling to practitioners. So there was really no advertising outside of going to holistically integrative medicine, alternative medicine conferences, and particularly the naturopathic community. That's kind of where Thorne first home was in that community. Then just as time has gone on, I think we have become better known, especially as we've been reaching out to consumers more. I'm sure there's still a large group of people out there who have no idea, some of whom would not be interested because they don't care about supplements, but we certainly don't have the name recognition that some of the more well-known consumer brands have.
But it's getting there. The marketing team has done a great job in the last couple of years of moving beyond that whole notion that Thorne is the best kept secret out there, that, you know, maybe people should know what's going on.
Yeah, we've had ads. We've had ads in Times Square on those big signs. We've had things on Jumbotrons at athletic events. There's quite a bit of buzz on social media about Thorne. So I think we are getting out there.
Word's getting out. The next question asks, did Thorne always have a, quote, no list, or is that something that evolved over time? So can you talk about what this person is asking? What's the no list, and how has that changed?
Well, the no list is a list of a lot of ingredients that we would never put in our products. So it can be things that can interfere with absorption. It can be artificial sweeteners, artificial colorings.
Lactose, gluten, things like that.
And allergens. Hidden allergens, I should say. We do sell whey protein, which is an allergen to some people, but it's not hidden. You know what you're getting. And we have not always had an official no list. We've had an unofficial no list since day one. It's been codified for maybe the last 15 years or so.
If you are going to buy an ingredient, you're vetting an ingredient, do you test for things on that no list, or you just ask the ingredient supplier if they can meet the standard? How is that handled?
It depends. Like, for instance, people who are putting together our flavorings and so forth have our no list, and they know what they can't put in them. There's some things that you can test for and other things that you can't. Like, we send all our products out for gluten testing. For one thing, just even the tiniest little bit of gluten or gliadin can be problematic for somebody who has celiac disease. So that's one thing that we do send out all of our finished products for testing.
And does an ingredient supplier say our ingredient doesn't have this and then you find it anyway?
I could imagine that could happen.
Has anything ever been dropped from that no list, or do you just add things? So is the no list getting bigger?
The no list has gotten somewhat bigger. For instance, this last year, some research on erythritol came out, which is a sweetener that prior to that we had looked at and thought about adding it to some ingredients because it looked like a pretty safe sweetener. But then some research this last year found that it did have there were issues, and I'm forgetting exactly what they were right now. But so we added erythritol to our no list. The one thing I can think of that we've dropped from our no list, and it was kind of conditional, was tablets, because we did introduce one tablet several years ago in the form of beta alanine. And the reason we decided to do it, and it did take quite a bit of thought and strategizing and making sure that none of the ingredients in our no list were in the product, and was that it needed to have a certain time release aspect to it, because beta alanine can cause a lot of side effects, tingling and itching and so forth. So, and that particular exact formula in tablet form had been the subject of most of the research was out there. So we did make an exception for that particular tablet. We are not likely to dive headfirst into more tablets.
But this one, as you said, had been extensively vetted and passed all the criteria of purity and absorption and all that. I got to say, I've been taking that beta alanine. This is an attestation that I love that product. I definitely feel more energy on it. And I'm not a big tablet person, right? Most of my supplements are capsules, and I don't have any issues with that one. Thorne has a reputation for quality control. I would say very stringent quality control for testing and retesting and retesting. Has that been the case from day one? And what exactly are we talking about when we say there's a lot of testing or quality control? What does that mean exactly?
Well, basically, all the ingredients that come into Thorne are quarantined first before they can be tested. That means they're kept separate from other ingredients in case there's some contaminant in them or something like that. So the raw materials are tested. Then when they're mixed into a formula, they're tested. The finished product is tested. And then this is one thing that has been added in the last decade or so to Thorne's testing, and that's stability testing, which we were one of the first companies that I know of to really get into that in a big way. And that's testing first when a new product comes out. We'll do what's called accelerated stability, because you don't want to wait around for 2 years when you have a new product to see how stable it is to put your expiration date on. So we do accelerated, which means you're exposing it to all kinds of hardships, high heat, cold, all sorts of things, moisture. And then after that, the products go through regular stability testing. So that's something that's evolved.
I've got to say, I went to Somerville, South Carolina, where the manufacturing facility is. I went there a few months ago just because I wanted to see it. And I was just astonished at the amount of testing equipment, the quality of the testing equipment. And I would invite anybody who has a question about that to make those arrangements and go see for yourself, because it's mind-boggling how much of an investment, how many tens of thousands of dollars have been invested in these machines that check the ingredients and look for contaminants and, as you said, monitor stability.
Even just things like confirming the identity of an ingredient.
Big deal.
And that has evolved a lot too over the years, as you can imagine. Initially, things had to be sent out a lot because we didn't have all the equipment. I mean, we had a lab and we were able to test for some things, but not to the extent that we can now.
I think actually Thorne could probably have a side business as an analytic lab. They have got so much equipment, they could probably do that on their own.
Probably could.
So that segues into the next question, which is, in your experience, what are some of the biggest challenges Thorne has faced as a company?
Well, because of our concern about quality, getting ingredients that pass our quality control standards can be difficult. As I said, we quarantine the ingredients and we have to reject a lot of ingredients because they're either contaminated, they might be contaminated with heavy metals, they might be contaminated with they might have microbial contamination, they might not be the, like if it's a botanical, maybe it's not even the species that we ordered. It could be, there are lots of reasons why we wind up having to reject raw materials. And in some cases, we've had to discontinue products because we weren't able to get that particular raw material, like a botanical, like valerian, for example, was all the batches we kept getting in several years ago were contaminated with benzopyrene. And so we had to discontinue a product called Cetaplus that valerian was a key ingredient in. Often we'll try to reformulate a product, but if we feel like the formula really, really depends on a particular ingredient, sometimes we've had to discontinue.
You know, I hate to say this, but I have talked to suppliers who were frustrated because Thorne wouldn't buy their ingredient because they found some contaminant. And the suppliers have told me point blank, well, everyone else in your industry buys it. And I don't understand why Thorne won't buy it.
I think that must have happened with psyllium because, you know, I still kept seeing psyllium out there too. And we kept getting batches that either had microbial contamination or heavy metals. We used to have clay in our
GI formula.
In one of our fiber products, and that was really hard to get clean versions of too. So, yeah.
All right, folks, that's all the time we have this week. Dr. Kathy Head, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. If our listeners want to follow more of what you're up to, now that Alternative Medicine Review is not in print, how do they follow what you're doing, what you're writing, etc.?
Well, we have, not that I'm the sole author by any means of these blogs, but we do have a blog at thorne.com called Take 5 Daily, and you can click at the top of the page, you can click on Take 5 and see not only what I've been writing, but what several of our other doctors and other writers have to say. So that's one way, probably the best way at this point. And I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, well, once again, happy birthday, Thorne. And as always, to you listeners out there, thank you for tuning in and listening.
Thanks for listening to the Thorne Podcast. Make sure to never miss an episode by subscribing to the show on your podcast app of choice. If you've got a health or wellness question you'd like answered, simply follow our Instagram and shoot a message to @ThorneHealth. You can also learn more about the topics we discussed by visiting thorne.com and checking out the latest news, videos, and stories on Thorne's Take 5 Daily blog. Once again, thanks for tuning in, and don't forget to join us next time for another episode of the Thorne Podcast.